Hey folks, welcome. Welcome, welcome. Susan Baracco here. Great to see all of you folks joining in the call this week. If you have a chance, if you would, just type in the chat and let me know you can hear me. I want to make sure that my audio is working properly. So just say hello in the chat. And I see Beth has joined us and Charlene. Cynthia, we've got some new folks in the program. So John is here. Great to see you. Marie, glad you can make it. And Susan is here also. Great. Thanks for letting me know, Beth. And while we're waiting, we usually give people a moment or two to come on the call and join us. So while we're waiting, if you'd like to answer our just for fun question today, and it can be for any holiday. I mean, here in the U.S., we've got some holidays coming up right around the corner, but maybe you have a different holiday depending on the part of the world you're in, or something else that that you enjoy and celebrate. So this is an opportunity for us to just get to know each other a little bit. So awesome. 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 Who else? We've got a few more people that have joined us. Allison. Hey there, Evan. Glad you're here. Nice group today. And so for those of you, I know several of you are brand new to the B2B Launcher program. So first, I want to extend a warm welcome. I'm glad you joined us. And secondly, I want to just let you know a little bit about how the call goes. What we usually do is we start with a just for fun question, which hopefully you can see here. And if you'd like to share any kind of family traditions, that would be fun to see and hear. And I'll read them. This call is being recorded as we speak, and it will be available usually the day after. It's usually available the very next day. So if you have to leave early, if you weren't able to make it to begin with, or you want to listen, come back and listen to it again. Sometimes we cover a lot of different topics. Some people like to go back and listen to it at least, you know, one or two times again to make sure that they didn't miss anything. So feel free to do that. I usually start out by asking a couple of different questions just to get a sense of where everybody is, and then we dive into the question and answer session. And during that time, I'll ask you to type your questions. Everything, most of our communication will be through the chat, but if there's a question that you've asked and we need more background, what I will do is unmute you so that you can share with us some additional insight so that I can answer your question more fully. And if for some reason when you're typing in your question you cannot, maybe you're at work, maybe you're in a coffee shop, a cafe somewhere, and you can't really talk, then just let me know. And I will do my best to answer with the information you provide. So, all right. So no holiday family traditions anybody wants to share? Cynthia, so good old-fashioned Griswold holiday chaos. Ah. I love it. That's just a tradition. I agree. That's great. And John says his favorite tradition is leaving for Thailand, a favorite winter activity. That's great. Chris says he takes his kids downtown. Probably to, I would imagine, see lights and maybe do some shopping and that kind of thing. Good for you. Which downtown? What part of the world are you in, Chris? Let us know. Cleveland, there you go. Charlene says, Christmas Eve dinner and opening gifts with family. Yeah, Christmas Eve dinner. Isn't that interesting? Nice. Allison says roast ham and mac and cheese on Christmas Eve. It's also your husband's birthday. Oh, isn't that fun? Oh, gosh, that's fun. Sounds great. Crystal says board games with the family and Monopoly in particular. Fun. Another great tradition. Susan says, I love celebrating Thanksgiving with my kids because we live in France and it's just fun doing something different. Yeah. Good for you. That sounds wonderful. Well, I'm glad all of you are here and thanks for sharing. One of the best ways to get a lot out of this call is to be a participant. So I hope that you've come with some questions ready for us when we get to that section, that point in the call. But I want to start out by asking my first question. And what I want you to do is type in a capital W in the chat before you type in your answer. That way it allows me to be sure that I understand what it is you're responding to. And as we move further into the call, you'll understand that makes a lot of sense, just makes it easier for us. So share a win, and it doesn't have to be anything big. If you've accomplished something in your journey in the last week or so, definitely let us know what it is that was a win for you so that we can all celebrate together. And I have been busy, busy picking up new clients and getting ready for the turn of the decade here. We're ending a decade, end of the year, and a new year starting in just a few weeks. So it's amazing. A lot of people are ready to get working, get to work in the first quarter of next year. So my win has been picking up a few new clients in the last week or two. So it's been great talking to some nice people. Allison said a win for her is listening to Ed's podcasts on grit, illuminating and motivating. Absolutely. If you have not had a chance, especially for those of you who are new to the program, I want to definitely encourage you to go to the b2blauncher.com site and click on Ed's podcasts or articles. I'm not sure exactly what the navigation is. I think it's articles. But that's just that compilation. It's a combination of podcasts and articles and things that he's done. There is some amazing wisdom, amazing resources in that section of the webpage. He's been at this a long time and he's been very successful, shares a lot of that wisdom, a lot of great interviews with people who have also been successful in writing. So it's the place I go to a lot for answers when you folks ask me a question. I'm always looking to see, you know, Ed's probably covered this at some point. So feel free to, you know, take advantage of that, leverage that to your advantage for sure. Chris says, my friend is asking for a real web rewrite. He even signed a fee agreement. Woo, that's a great. Congratulations, Chris. That's terrific. That's awesome. That'll be a terrific project for you. And it's amazing how quickly, even just one project like that, even if it's a pro bono project, it just gives you so much confidence. So congratulations. Glad that to hear your hit the ground running. Charlene says her win has been joining and starting its program. I agree. It's one of the best programs from an entrepreneurial perspective. And so what I love about Ed's programs, and I've been partnering with him now for 2 years, I think, probably, helping to support the programs that he provides. And so what I love about his programs is that he's not going to teach you how to write. it's not what you're here for, I hope, because it's not what he's going to show you how to do. What I love about Ed's programs is that they are they're focused on helping you to build a business, helping you to build a sustainable business, something that works, that actually makes money and continues to make money for you and continues to bring you the kind of work that you want to be doing. So congratulations again for being here. And I agree, this is a big win to be a part of this organization and a part of this program. All right, Marie, you got a win. You got a tiny assignment. That's okay. Congratulations. Is it a direct, if you would just type in, is it a direct client? Did you get it through an agency? I know you've been working a couple of different angles there. Just would love to know is it a direct client or what the case is there, but congrats. That's really exciting. Same thing for you. Even though it's a small assignment, it's going to give you some confidence moving as you move forward. Cynthia says, proactively working my LinkedIn, connecting with contacts for my niche market and sending out emails. Definitely a win. This takes time to develop a rhythm, Cynthia, and to get into daily activity and weekly activity. So good for you. Stick with it. Build some good habits around that. You'll never regret building good habits around that. Evan says, my first pro bono client told me how happy he is with the copy I wrote for his website. Wow, fantastic. That's a huge win. It's okay that it's a pro bono client. That's, you know, talk about a confidence boost and a confidence builder. That's terrific. The minute somebody says, hey, that was a really good job, all of a sudden you feel valid. You've been validated, and that's terrific. So congrats. That's going to be a turning point for you, believe it or not, Evan, moving forward, because it's going to show and come across in everything that you say and do. So good for you. Beth says, got through the intro in the first sessions and started session two. Good for you. The first couple sessions in this program are some heavy lifting. You've got a lot to think about and a lot to do, actually, in terms of creating your USP, your positioning statement, if you will. It's heavy lifting. So good for you to dive right in and take that on. Esther says, connecting with old colleagues using warm emails and LinkedIn. Great. That's great. Definitely use those, that old colleagues and your whole network. Don't be afraid to tap it, your whole network, because you never know where work will come from. So don't hesitate to do that. Susan says she's completed the positioning sections in session one and used it to send some warm emails to target segment I didn't feel I was ready to approach. Good. Each one of these sessions builds on the next. So we're laying the foundation in the first sessions. The first two, one and two, are really just helping you to figure out how to talk about what you do. And then it gives you that confidence, if you will, and the preparedness to go out and start warm emailing and talking to people and reaching out to people. So be patient with the first two. Take your time. Try not to rush through them because they are going to set the stage and set that foundation for you to start then reaching out to people for real. Crystal says, finally understanding the reach of LinkedIn. Thanks for the presentations. You're very welcome. Boy, it's a complex program that most people don't understand. And that was a really fun session to do because people don't understand just the very basics. It's so different from Facebook. So what Crystal is talking about, for those of you who are a little newer in the program, I did a couple of training sessions, and I believe they're in session five. So you will see those as added bonuses, if you will, in session five. So, but it basically, excuse me, what I do is I go through LinkedIn to help you understand how LinkedIn works, how it's different from Facebook, and how powerful it is, because it is really a powerful tool. And once you understand that, you can start using it more appropriately. So. All right. So Maurice is another copywriter who's a friend, agreed to talk to me for advice, pointers, etc. During the course of the conversation, she offered to let me write a blog post and two doc media posts for one of her clients because she's got a ton of work. She said, if it goes well, it has potential to continue. Wow. So that was this tiny project you were talking about. Hey, you know what? That's not tiny. That's a door opener for you. How nice to be able to connect with someone like that who, even if they give you a little bit of work like that, you know, a couple of blog posts here and there just to offload, if you can make that happen and make it, consistent, that's going to help you out from a confidence perspective dramatically. It's going to make you feel like, hey, I can do this. Good for you. Yay. Great wins. That's amazing. Thank you, everybody, for sharing what's been going on. That's terrific. I love it. All right, next question for all of you. What material are you implementing? So some of you I know are new, but just tell me, what session are you in? What are you working on if you haven't done so already? Just type in the chat. It'll help me to understand where you are in the program. And also give me some tips for things that we might want to be talking about today. Awesome. Evan says he's about to start the final session. Wow. You're further along than a lot of the folks on the call today, but that's great. That's awesome. Esther, thank you. She says she's still in session four. Allison says she's starting session one or just working in session one. Great. Marie on session six. Great. You're a little further along, Marie, than I realized. So good for you. Chris is on lesson 7, going into 8, now looking for resources to manage projects and time. Susan says, I just completed session 1, getting ready to start 2. It will be important as I plan to revamp my current website, definitely. Chris Doyle, welcome. He said he just joined, focusing on Gordon Graham's white paper mentorship program. We'll listen to a few early sessions during the holidays. So Chris, where are you? Just let me know where you are in the B2B launcher program. Cynthia says she just completed session 5, wants to continue sending out emails to her niche marketing contacts. Great. Charlene started session 2, working on web copy. Yeah, posted on Facebook for feedback. I saw your positioning statements. I'll zip back around to those when I have a few minutes after the call today. Give you some feedback on those. The web, writing your web copy is fairly heavy lifting. If you don't have a website already and this is your first go around, it can feel like a lot. It can feel a little overwhelming. So take your time with it, but it's really hard to write about yourself. Really hard. It can be. So what you want to do is put something together and submit it for review. It doesn't have to be 100%. Just want to let you know, the folks that are starting in there, just don't worry about it being 100%. You want it to be really good, as good as you can get it, but it's never going to be 100%, by the way. So Ed likes to say between 70 and 80% good is good. You want to get to that level where you're feeling pretty good about what you've done, and then submit it for review. We'll give you feedback, and with the intention of you make the changes that you're comfortable with that make sense, and then you put it online and you go. So, all right. Crystal says she's in the prospecting session. And Chris, so you're brand new. Haven't even started on a session yet. No problem. Thanks for letting me know. Chris Doyle, that is. Chris Power, session 7 going into 8. All right. Chris Doyle says, my freelance website is out there. I have a niche selected in SaaS B2B. How should I submit it for review? Chris, go into the Facebook group and look for the website review thread. And when you click on that, there'll be all kinds of folks you'll see that have posted their websites and web copy for review. And that's where it needs to go. So you can even Google it, website review. All right, Beth. Beth says she's mid-session 2 and needs a bit of guidance, put a lot of effort into finding my target market. I'm wondering if I went too narrow, causing me to pause for longer than I'd like. No problem. So Beth, hold that as a question and maybe we can talk about it a little bit here today. And as a matter of fact, that's going to be our next thing. So thanks folks for responding to that. So we're in the Q&A. Beth, if you would just type in what it is that you would like help with. And if it's something that we can talk about right here and I can help you with, I'm happy to do that. So just type in what it is that you'd like help with, if you can be a little more specific. So, and for everybody else on the call, please enter in the chat, type in a capital Q. Keep your question focused and as specific as possible. And I would appreciate one question per person. We've got a fairly good group today. We've got a number of people on the call, so I can always come back to you if we have time. And usually we do. So one question at a time would be great. And tell me what you're thinking about too. If there's something that you've been considering, and you're wondering if that's the best direction for you to head, the best steps for you to take, please share that as well. All right. So Beth, I'm going to take your question first, but I would really encourage everyone on the phone, type in a question, anything that you think, and don't worry, a lot of times in this particular group, people come to the calls and feel, oh, maybe I have my question's kind of stupid. Don't feel that way. Do not feel that any question is silly or, you know, or anything. I mean, this is a place for you to ask any kind of question that you have. You're new to this. Many of you are new to the idea of having your own freelancing business. Many of you are new to having a website, having to reach out to people. This could be a lot of new territory. So don't hesitate to ask questions here. This is what this is for. Take advantage of it. So I am going to just read Beth's question. She has decided to focus on agriculture technology. That's the target market. And she's going to be looking to write case studies, email campaigns, and short film scripts for visual storytelling. And those are her focus. So Beth, I'm hoping that you can speak. I'm going to unmute you. Hey, Beth, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great.
Good. Well, thank you for the question. So I wanted to ask you just a little bit about what you're thinking. So you haven't gotten very far in the program, but I wanted to make sure, have you reached out to anyone in this market yet, or you're not at that point yet?
I'm not quite at that point yet. I'm the only thing holding myself back at this point. I have the website, I have the LinkedIn profile written.
Oh, yay, good.
I haven't gone through, obviously I haven't gone through all of your stuff yet to do a revision. I'm sure that's coming, but yes. I could reach out if I wanted to.
Okay. So what I would suggest is before you make any kind of change, it sounds like you spent a fair amount of time just thinking about this, you know, going through it and you've put a lot of thought into it. So at this point, what I would recommend is that you approach this as a A/B test. So what I would encourage you to do is start reaching out when you're ready to a few targets. Reach out to people that maybe are in the industry. Maybe you have some connections already. I think you have some background in this industry. And so what I would recommend is that you just see how it goes. So what'll end up happening is you'll start reaching out to folks, and within a short amount of time, you'll have a good sense of whether or not this is a good target market, whether or not it's too narrow, or does it need to be, do you need to broaden and start looking at I guess, one-off or ancillary type markets. So maybe agricultural technology, maybe there's another aspect or another vertical, if you will, under the umbrella of agriculture that you could start focusing on. Are there other agricultural businesses besides the technology piece that you might be able to start calling on? So
okay.
What I would recommend though is to start off by prove your concept. Go out and see, does this make sense? And I think because what'll happen, Beth, is that in a short amount of time, you'll talk to a handful of people and you'll be like, oh, this is not big enough. It won't take you long to figure that out. You'll have a couple of conversations, and what they'll tell you, what they'll give you for feedback is going to be invaluable in two ways. It'll help you to understand, is there a market here? Is there a viable market? Are these people hungry for your support and your help? The other thing is it'll help you to fine tune the copy on your website. And that's something that I want all of you to hear, especially where so many folks are working on their websites, is that it's not until you start talking to clients that you really, really, truly do have an understanding of what their pain points are, how they view things, and how you should present yourself on your website. So keep that in mind too. This is this early on in your business, this is a real informational gathering time for you. So you may not get clients, but you might get some really invaluable feedback, some really, really super helpful feedback from the connections that you make.
Okay.
So, that makes sense?
Yeah. I'm going to stay the course then, and then
for now,
dip my toe in and see how it goes. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. All right. And keep us posted on Facebook. Let me know how that goes.
Okay. I will. Thanks.
Awesome. 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 Good question. Very important, because when you're trying to figure out your target market, this question comes up so often with people who are just getting in. And both Ed and I encourage people, just try it and see. Do it for a month. See what happens. And put an honest effort in that month to send warm emails and have conversations, reach out to people and make connections. And see what you learn, see what comes to the forefront. You may find out, wow, this is an incredible diamond in the rough. There's this incredible need and you've really struck gold. Or maybe it might be, you know what, these people really don't get it. They don't need my help. They don't want my help. You'll find that out as you start talking to people. And as I mentioned to Beth, very quickly, it won't take you long to realize, you know, I either did, I hit this right on the head, or I probably ought to pivot and, or expand my target. Awesome. All right. Next question is from Susan. How much detail or depth should I focus in the web copy on the specific offerings, such as blog post writing, case studies, etc.? In my current website, I go into narrative style detail of the whys each is important, why a content style guide is important. Is that necessary? So Susan, based on your target market and who you're going to be reaching out to, I think that's for the most part drives it a little bit. But what I recommend, one of the things that we should do, that everyone should do in terms of their website, is to keep it simple and keep it brief. So think about, you know, websites today don't have a lot of content unless you go to the website's blog page, then obviously it's all content. But the web pages themselves typically are I call people skimmers and scanners, right? They're going to just breeze down a page, get the most key information and move on. They're not going to sit and read it like a document. They don't want to, they don't have time. They want to get the most bang for their buck. They want to be able to skim that page and get the information that they specifically are looking for. So Susan, for you in this case, what I would recommend is that you keep it brief. So if you say, let me see, case studies. So what I usually recommend when I do my website reviews is, if you're going to mention case studies that do what? So I would tie it to something that it will do for your client. So case studies that showcase your expertise and your customer service acumen, something like that. So that you're doing a little bit of educating, because you don't know the marketing savvy or the sophistication level of the visitor. So you might have somebody who's been marketing for years, they understand all of that, or you might have people that are that just don't have the same level of experience or savvy. So you're going to simply say case studies that really make your expertise shine, or case studies that you can use in this way. Keep it really short. Keep skimming and scanning in mind, but help this is almost like a teaching moment for you, an educational moment where you can educate your visitor. Just give them some ideas about how they could use case studies, for example, because they might sit back and say, huh, I never thought about that. Geez, maybe I should look into case studies. Maybe I should contact this person. So it's an opportunity for you to just, in a very non-salesy way, just say case studies that can do this and this for you, but keep it brief. Beth says she's thinking of opening her target up to software companies, and that's not at all a problem, as long as it's still related to the core, still related to the core target audience that you're already focused on. So you don't want it to be healthcare and the auto industry, you know, two completely disconnected industries. You want them to be very close. All right. All right. So next question, I think Marie is you're up next. I think it's a question. I've tried not to put my early work dates and college grad date because I'm over 50, same here. And I think it negatively affects responses. However, the automated systems will not accept my material until I fill in dates. Any suggestions around that? I'm not sure what automated systems you mean. I think if I remember correctly, Marie, on Facebook, you were applying for positions. And I would recommend that you do some of that, but mix your outreach, make sure that you're still doing your warm email marketing and things like that. If you're going to apply for jobs that you don't have a choice, and I believe the automated systems you're talking about are online, application portals. You do not have a choice. You have to put dates in. And no, there's no way around that. The only thing that you might do is look to see go a little bit deeper and research that particular job to see who the hiring manager might be. And instead of filling that out, go ahead and reach out to them on LinkedIn and see if you can get them to connect with you and start a relationship outside of the job that they have available. That might be a better way to, you know, get away from that. I too am in my 50s. I have absolutely no issue. I mean, I work with people who are similar in age to me, so you know, it's not an issue. For jobs in particular, that may be the case, but that's why I'm saying you might want to avoid the actual application and kind of do a workaround and actually come in the side door instead of the front door in regards to that, is reach out and, you know, try and start a relationship with, you know, connect with and start a professional relationship with the hiring manager instead, or the person who might be in charge of that particular decision, that particular role. All right, Evan, you're up next. And great questions. Keep them coming. I'm so glad that all of you are being active today in the chat, and lots of great questions. So thanks for being participating today. Evan says, how do you respond when a potential client asks if you've written about a certain topic, for example, finance, when you haven't before, and the assumption is that you want the job? Evan, this comes up a lot. We talk about this, Ed and I both talk about this a lot. And this is the opportunity, hopefully the first thing that you want to do is find a way to get on the phone with the potential client, with the prospect, and so that you can have a conversation. What do they mean by finance? So what specifically, is there some aspect of finance? Finance is a big topic. It's like saying healthcare. Really? Oh my gosh. You know, that's a huge, huge range of, it's way too broad. So finance, what do they mean by that? And I know you're using that just as an example, but what I want to get you thinking about is, you know, I have some deeper questions, because there may be something there that I do have experience. You might find that, geez, maybe I do have some experience, depending on the type of finance that they want you writing about. So my thought is, and I'll give you an example. I used to write for a very large national payroll organization. They did payroll and HR services. And I'm not an HR specialist. I know nothing about HR from a technical perspective. I really don't. But what I did for them is I was a ghostwriter for their blogs, and I did a lot of blogs for them. And what was really cool was that what they actually needed was for me to write about HR and payroll services, but the audience was small business owners. Hey, so that is something I know about. Not only have I been a small business owner for a number of years, but earlier in my career, I was actually a business coach, and I had done that for about 10 years. So I was used to talking to small businesses, small to mid-sized companies that had these kinds of issues. I understood the audience's pain points. So even though I didn't have a lot of experience in HR per se, I knew how to talk to that audience. So I was desirable to them as a result. So that would be my first thing, Evan, is always, if at all possible, have a conversation, because you really want to make sure you understand, if this is just came in an email, it might not be what they think they sent, you know, what they explained and what you read could be not necessarily in line, and might not be quite that way unless they've given you specifics. All of that said, if you have a chance to be on the phone and they say, can you write about, you know, accounting, maybe it's an accounting firm, and or they want to, you know, have you writing about accounting particulars, maybe it's something a little more technical. If it's something you're interested in, then I would keep that. I like to say you keep your discounts and your pro bono offers in your back pocket. And so as the conversation progresses, if they say, you know, I'm a little concerned, you just don't really have the right experience, then that's when you say, look, I, absolutely understand. You're right. You want to be honest about this. If you don't have any direct experience, I always am. And it's interesting to me how people are willing to work with you anyway, especially if you present yourself well. But that's the point where you say, you know what, I'd be willing to take on a couple of blogs for you. Let's say they want you to write blogs. Let me write 2 or 3 blogs for you pro bono so that we can decide if this is a good fit. And so what you're doing is you're not saying, I'm going to work for you for pro bono forever, right? Because nobody wants to work for free. But let me do two or three pieces for you pro bono. And you're welcome to use them if you like them. But then at that point we can talk about this, and it'll give me a chance to prove my value. And most people say free. Yeah, let's do it. Right. So, that would be the way that I would approach that don't ever take anything that you get in an email at face value, because you just never know the deeper side of it. When you actually get in to talk to the person, they say, oh, well, yeah, well, actually really my target audience is this and I really need that. And yeah, I guess we're talking about finance, but it's good to get in and be able to ask the deeper questions, because you just never know. So I hope that was helpful. All right. Chris Dole is up next and he has a question. I put my freelance site out there about 6 months ago. It was a lot of hard work. Yes, it was. Congrats for getting that done. I let it go for a while, then found that my services page showed up briefly on the first page of Google results. Woo! Not there now. Don't know why it showed up. Don't know why it disappeared. Anyway, how important is SEO treatment of the website pages right now? So that's a good question, Chris, and it's a mixed answer. SEO is... it's a good question. And I'm thinking about a couple of different answers here for you, because it is, if you're really looking to go about this the right way in terms of, you know, most of the traffic that goes to my website, I drive to my website. So SEO, is it that important? And what I mean by that is that I'm sending out emails and I'm doing social media campaigns. So I'm active on all my social media platforms and I'm constantly putting, I blog, I put that on LinkedIn. I do daily posts. I have an automated system, so I'm not doing this every day myself, but I have daily posts that go out to all my social media. That is what will drive people to my website. I think that especially for a brand new website and a smaller, you're just getting started, SEO is important and you should have your website set up in an SEO friendly manner. 100%. You should absolutely do that. And make sure that the keywords are there and that it's set up properly so that someone does organically just type in freelance copywriter for the healthcare industry in, you know, Georgia, that they're going to come to you. They're going to be able to find you. But for now, as you're all getting started, the more important thing is that you're driving people to your website yourself. And I think, so there's going to be a balance. You're going to be reaching out on LinkedIn and asking, inviting people to connect with you. They're going to go to your website. You're going to be posting something on LinkedIn or maybe on Facebook. You're going to be warm email prospecting, sending your emails out to people. Those are the people that are going to end up on your website. You're actually going to be kind of pushing your own, for now anyway, pushing your own traffic to your website. So SEO is absolutely important, 100% important, but in the beginning, most of the traffic is going to be driven by you. You know, you're going to be sending people back to your website to look at a blog post or to learn more about you or whatever the case may be. So I hope, Chris, that's helpful. And it takes time to build. It's interesting to me how, a lot of my business, and this is something that takes a long time to build. This isn't something that's going to happen in the next month or two for any of you, is referral business and connections through. So I use, I get a lot of my business from referrals from past clients as well as colleagues and some of my, I call them champions. And then my social media activity. I have a woman that I'm talking to right now, who I believe I'm going to be working with, and she has been following me on social media. She's been watching the things that I've been posting. And she said, I love your style. I love what you're talking about. I want to work with you. So, you know, I'm driving a lot of that myself very intentionally. That takes time to establish. It takes time to set up. So for right now, for all of you, I think the best thing is to make sure that you've checked all the boxes for SEO. Make sure that you fill that out. If you're doing building your own website, make sure you've done whatever. I know for me, I use Wix, and Wix actually has an SEO wizard that takes you through all these steps and sort of like a checklist to make sure you have this set up and that set up. And so then it's SEO friendly. So then it's automatically done. You have to fill in the right terms and all that good stuff, but it's done. If you're having somebody build your website for you, definitely take the time and invest, because it's now's the time. But I think you ought to be, you know, keep in mind that a lot of your traffic is going to be coming from the activity that you're doing yourself, especially in the early months of your business. And I hope that helped. I hope that answered your question. All right, Allison, you're up next. I see a question here from you. I'm trying to work out my target market. I have experience working for a number of different markets and industries, but don't have an in-depth experience of any. How do I sell myself as an expert in one or more of them? So Allison, another great question. What I recommend is that you pick, and I hope that you were able to go through the positioning that I think session one in particular really helps you kind of hone in on how to narrow down if you've got experience in a number of different background, different industries, how to narrow down the ones that make the most sense. So you might look for the ones that you're most, that you're most comfortable in, or the ones that you have the most experience in, the longest amount of time working in. That's going to give you the best. I think that's probably going to give you the best opportunity to position yourself as an expert. So even if it's 3 years or 5 years, even if it isn't 25 years, it doesn't matter. But look at the ones that you've got the most experience, or maybe that you've risen to the highest point in. So maybe you got to be manager or VP or something within an industry, at a VP level or something like that. So it's a combination of, you know, which couple are the strongest. And in addition to that, number two is which ones are most closely related. So we've been talking a little bit, like I used the example earlier of healthcare and the auto industry. Well, they're completely disparate. They have no connection to each other. Versus if you were working in technology, maybe you've got experience with software companies and with equipment companies, you know, working with both, or with web service type companies or something like that. So as long as they're close to each other and they're related, if you will, then those might be the ones that, again, as you're honing your message for your website, you're able to position yourself as a, not so much as an expert. So you might want to think of it more as what is your core differentiator. And I know that's a big part of session one or session two, is your core differentiator. So what's one or two things that really make me different from a lot of writers out there? What's the experience that I have that makes me different? It doesn't make you an expert. It just makes you different. So what I was talking about earlier, about my experience, and I have no experience as an HR specialist of any kind, but what made me different and appealing to this customer, this particular client, was because I'd worked with small businesses so much. I would have considered myself an expert in small business at that point. But I really had nothing, you know, the HR part, they basically said, you know, we can feed you the details that you need for that. We need you to help us talk to the audience. So be thinking about it from more than just a very one-dimensional perspective. Really think about, it might not maybe be an expert, but it makes me desirable on some level. There's something that I bring to the table through this experience that's unique and different and not so much as an expert, but just as someone who understands things differently. So I hope that, Allison, let me know if that was helpful. That makes sense. All right, Esther, you're up next. Question she has is, how do I come up with topics or subjects for a blog post that help me gain credibility as a writer? There seems to be so much out there already in my industry. Don't know how to determine what's worth writing about. So I want to start, Esther, by saying that depending on where you are, let me see. So depending on where you are in this particular program, in the B2B Launcher program, I would put blog posts on the back burner. What I would really focus on right now is getting through all the sessions in this program, getting your website up and ready, getting your LinkedIn up and running, getting everything together, doing your warm email prospecting, and really focusing on those things. If you're already pretty well through most of the sessions, and now you're looking for a way to populate the blog on your website, and you've been at this for a while, that would be a good time for you to now start focusing on that. And so here's what I would recommend. An easy way to start with topics for a blog post are to take a look at your target audience, your target market, and think about, as you think about the people that you have helped or perhaps you'd like to help, think about what maybe the top three or four mistakes that they make. And that could be on their website, it could be in their marketing, it could be in their message, it could be in their voice or who they're talking to, who they're not talking to, right? So we're looking at all the different things that come into play with marketing, and we're thinking about our target audience. So we're saying, you know what? These are the things that I see. You know, when I look at their websites, I think, oh, facepalm, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they wrote that or they're doing it that way. Or maybe you're looking at their social media and you see them making lots of mistakes there. Or maybe a lot, but maybe not a lot, but maybe the same, you're seeing that same mistake being made by a lot of the folks in your target market. And then you back up and you say, okay, I'm going to write a blog post for each mistake. You know, each thing that I think is a mistake, and then how I would solve for that. So if I am an expert in case studies, and maybe you're seeing people using case studies the wrong way, or maybe clients, not so much case studies, but even client profiles, you know, things like that. So whatever it is that you're going to be talking to people about is, you know, think about, again, the top three, four mistakes that people make in this industry in terms of their marketing. And then start writing about that, because it'll give you a chance to showcase, number one, your understanding of the industry, number two, your understanding of marketing and writing, and then number three, showcase your solutions ability, your problem solving ability, by saying, here are three different ways or two different ways that I recommend you tackle this. If you've made this mistake, here's how to fix it, and here's how to do it moving forward. So hopefully that's low hanging fruit for me in terms of because I start thinking about the people that I work with and the mistakes they make. Oh my gosh, I could write probably 50 blogs on the mistakes that people make when they're trying to write a book. So I hope that's helpful. All right, great questions, you guys. Got it. Good. All right. So Esther, your next question, I'm going to jump right onto this one. Is it best to use the LinkedIn in-mail option to reach out or use the personal or work email? Some people list these emails in their profile as one more effective than the other. So what are the best ways to tell how effective LinkedIn communication is going to be is to go onto a person's profile. And when you land on their profile, you're going to scroll down. I think the first... second box maybe down is there what I call the activity box, unless they've changed the layout since last week. But if you're looking at someone's profile, you see their activity box. And what that is to the left-hand side is going to show posts that they actually wrote themselves and posted. And then to the right-hand side is going to be all the activity. And they're only going to show a few, but all the things that they've liked, commented on, shared, etc. And then at the bottom of that box, you'll see a link that says see all activity. And you can even click on that and scroll through it. But what you want to look at is a clue. You're going to just become a little bit of an investigator here and look to see how many times have they, how often are they on LinkedIn? Just look at the dates of all the different things, the comments, the likes, the shares, anything that they've done where they've actually physically pushed a button or had to interact with LinkedIn, it's going to be right there and it's going to give you an idea of how often they're on LinkedIn. So that will be your first breadcrumb, if you will, of is LinkedIn going to be a useful way to get in touch with them or an effective way to get in touch with them, and then decide from there. So is there a best way or a right or wrong? Not really, because everybody uses LinkedIn differently. And that also is a case-by-case situation based on the industry that you are focused on, based on your target market. Some target markets, the people are very active on LinkedIn. So it's a great way to reach out and get in front of them. In some target markets, they probably hardly ever go on LinkedIn once a month. So that's a different story. So that is going to give you a little bit of some direction there. The other thing is the in-mail is something that you have to, you're limited on the number of in-mails you can send based on the type of account that you have. And so if you've got a free account, I don't even think you can use in-mail at all. I can't remember now. They've been changing the rules a lot lately. So I'm not 100% sure, but I know with a paid one, I think you can only send like 15 in-mails a month or something, which isn't very many. So that's one thing to consider. LinkedIn should be used in concert with your warm email prospecting. And what you want to do is reach out and see if you can get a direct connection, invite them to connect and get them to connect with you. Then you can freely message them back and forth. So if you're already connected to them, there's no limit to how many messages you can send a person. But if you're not yet connected, the in-mail system is what is limited based on whether you have a free account or a paid account on LinkedIn. So I hope that helps. And business emails are better to start with, Esther. If you can locate a work email, that's probably a better place to start as opposed to a personal email. Personal email, your message might get lost in the fray, as we all know. You know, your personal emails, it's all the, you know, the email spam that you get from, you know, you buy something online and then you're bombarded with email spam. So your message might get lost in all of that in a personal email. So work would be a better place to start, if possible. All right, Chris, you're up next. A nice brief little question, thank you. Is there value in writing pro bono if they don't end up using your writing? My answer to that would be yes, because even if they don't use it, was it you that, who was it that said that they just got an accolade from a pro bono client? So that person would be wonderful to put a testimonial on your website. Ask them for a testimonial. You know, if they were that, if they sent it to you, especially if they sent you an accolade in writing in via email, then you could reach back up to them and say, thank you so much for that. I wanted to ask for your permission. I'd like to use that as a testimonial on my website. Are you okay with that? So even though it didn't get published, you could use it. That's a great testimonial. That's a real client. That's a real live person who didn't actually technically hire you, but that you wrote for. And it's also something that you can use as a sample. So even though it didn't get published, retain a copy of it for yourself. It doesn't necessarily have to be published out in the world for it to be a real live article that you can use as a sample. So you could put that into a PDF format and put it on your website as a, you know, as a sample. So absolutely, super, super valuable. In that way. So always be thinking, even with pro bono clients, always be thinking testimonial and sample. Because that's the whole reason behind, obviously, because if you're not getting any money, there isn't any other value. So that's really where you want to focus. Make sure that you get a testimonial and always ask. Always ask and always ask for, always notify them that you'll be using it as a sample on your website, regardless of what happens to it. You know, if it's posted or not. Ooh, All right. Crystal, looks like you're up next. Would you recommend posting content to LinkedIn at this point, starting your own business? If so, what kind of content? Content that speaks to your target market or some kind of general business content? So if you're going to write your own, I just shared that a few minutes ago, coming up with the top three or four trouble spots or mistakes that your target audience makes with marketing, something along those lines, or writing. That would be the type. And again, Crystal, depending on where you are in this program, I wouldn't put a lot of time in unless you're moving right along through the program and you're near, I think session 8 is the last one. So if you're further along in the B2B launcher program, you've already completed all the modules, you've got all the work done, you've got a really solid warm email prospecting rhythm going, you're consistent with it, you're doing it every day, every week, and starting to generate some real interest, you're doing a lot of the marketing, you're doing a lot of networking, and you're working hard to find other, to find clients. If you've got all that clicking and you still have time to write a some content, then go for it. But I wouldn't make it a priority right now. But once you do decide, as I mentioned, once you start, start to get some momentum in your business, even if it's a couple of pro bono projects, and you have the time. But for me, as I think about it right now, once all of you get through all the prospecting parts of this program, you should have a really, should be spending the bulk of your time doing exactly that. And it's not a lot of fun necessarily in the beginning because you do have to do a lot of prospecting up front. But the sooner you get through that and start building some momentum and start landing some clients, the better, because then you can start balancing your time off and saying, okay, now I want to do my client work, continue to prospect, and then do some blog writing as well. So Crystal, I hope you were able to catch some of the details of what I had explained earlier about picking out those top three or four pain points or mistakes that you see people making in the industry that you're focused on. All right, Charlene, you're up next. Question: on my website emails, conversations, do I need to avoid saying I'm new in the copywriting arena and my business is new? How do I sound seasoned? Good question. Good, good, good. I think that avoiding saying it is a good idea. No one needs to know how long you've been at it unless they ask. So definitely don't put it on your website. Definitely don't put it in your emails. The only emails that you should be mentioning that, in which you should mention that you're new, is to your network, friends and family, former colleagues, your immediate network, because that's where you're going to explain, hey, I just launched this brand new phase. I've launched this brand new initiative. I'm going to be writing. Keep me in mind if you know anybody. So it's okay to tell them because they're going to know anyway. But when it comes to websites, no, just, you really want to focus your website on, here's what I bring to the table. And, here are the things you should be considering, for your business. So depending again on your target market, because this is all centered around them, is what do they need? What are their needs? So you want to be talking about, I understand your needs. I understand your pain points, and I have, and I'm the right, resource for the job. And don't even worry about it. To kind of put that I'm brand new thing out of your mind, easier said than done. I do understand that. I remember back in the beginning, I've been at full-time writing probably going on 7 years now, I think. And it's really hard in the beginning to feel any confidence to, and you do, you kind of get preoccupied with, oh my gosh, what if they ask me, what my experience is. It's something that's why Ed suggests things like, maybe taking some pro bono work in the beginning to get your feet on the ground, get you a little bit of momentum. Those are the kinds of things that I think really help you to feel better about it. So try not to focus on it because it's not important. What's important is that, hey, I know how to write and I'm eager to help my clients achieve their goals, right? Because that's your job. Your writing is to help them achieve their goals, what you provide in terms of writing support. So sounding seasoned, that's, you know, I don't think you should worry about that either, Charlene. I'm just rereading your question here. Don't be so concerned about it. Be more concerned about expressing that you understand what they need and that and how you're different from other writers. And I hope that helps. All right. Great questions. You guys are doing, got some really great questions here today. All right. So Cynthia, you are up next. Next question. I may have missed this at some point. What do you recommend as a number of postings on LinkedIn as far as articles or blogs? And does posting articles on LinkedIn help us with getting noticed in rankings on Google? So as I have mentioned a couple of times today, I really think that your focus should be getting through the program, getting through all of the sessions and completing everything, and to kind of put the whole blog posting and LinkedIn posting on the back burner until you get through, because you're so much in startup mode that right now, for me, it feels like doing too much. And trust me, in the beginning, you really do need to, it's all hands on deck, doing outreach, reaching out, warm email prospecting, following up, connecting on LinkedIn, going out to events, shaking hands, going to chamber events, and maybe picking up some, you know, connections there, and maybe some potential projects there, even if they're small, even if it's an underpaid kind of a thing or a pro bono thing. That's what you want to be doing. That's where you want all your energy and all your time and focus to be right now, is to get through this, get it set up, and then start really work in the prospecting piece of this. Blogging doesn't really fit into that directly. And I think Ed would agree that it's really an activity for a slightly more seasoned business. Now, that being said, if you're just starting with your website, you don't need to put a blog section on your website. You can leave that page off and activate it later once you get a little more comfortable. And it's something that I think is important. And please understand, I'm not saying that blogging is not important. It absolutely is, but not right this minute. So I just want you to kind of take the pressure off of yourself for having to, oh my gosh, I got to write blogs and I got to do all this. What I have seen many times in the past is that people get, they come through this program and they get so distracted by having to blog and having to, oh, I got to write another article. Oh my gosh, it's been a month. I'm a week behind. I'm this and that. And instead they're not getting any new business in the door. And it's taking away from the time, energy, and focus that you would have put into prospecting. So that's why I caution everyone is just, you know, don't worry about blogging. Put that on the back burner, put it in the parking lot, whatever, however you want to say it, but just put it aside for now. And if you are further along in the program, like Evan is at the end and he's, you know, he's in a different place with his business at this point, then that's different. That is when you can maybe start. And if you've got a client or two, whether it's pro bono or paid, I wouldn't recommend going too crazy with blogs until you've got a client or two under your belt. So, and even if it's small, you know, smaller, projects. I would prefer to see you take on a couple of smaller projects before you start blogging on any with any regular schedule. So getting out on LinkedIn is incredibly valuable for a couple of reasons. I'll directly answer your question that you had. I just wanted to make sure and kind of preface it by saying this is something for a slightly more seasoned business. LinkedIn is probably one of the best places to post articles. because you're not going to have a lot of traffic coming to your own website. That's just the nature of the beast. It's a fairly new website. You're just getting started. Yes, it's a good way to drive SEO and to make nice with the Google and the other search engines, the search engine gods. That's true, staying active. But that's not, again, something that should be of core focus for you right this minute. But that being said, LinkedIn definitely is a place where if I Googled your name, your LinkedIn profile usually comes up in the top 4 or 5 results of a Google search for your name. And that's why it's so important that your LinkedIn profile be polished and match your website messaging. So very important for that. But yes, so LinkedIn will get probably more eyeballs for you on your articles than your website will. For example, I have a little over 2,000 connections, and that's actually, I'm very, very selective about who I connect with. I'm very careful and mindful about my connections. So I don't have 10,000 connections, and I've been on LinkedIn since, gosh, for 13 years, something like that. And I love the tool. It's just something that's been a part of my business life for a long time. So I'm very active on it, and I'm constantly connecting with people, but I still only have about 2,000 client connections, because that's very much by design. I want to be connected with the right people, not all people. All people don't help me, the right people do. So that being said, if I post an article on LinkedIn, those 2,000 sets of eyeballs all get notified that I just posted an article. So it's better for grabbing eyeballs, LinkedIn is, than my website is, because if I post it on my website, you know, what are 3 people going to see it if I'm lucky? And I've been in business for a long time. And again, it's not... I actually post them in both places. So if I have an article that I've written, I put it on my website first. I give the SEO search engines a chance to index it. So usually 2 to 3 days, something like that. And then I post it on LinkedIn. I make it go live on LinkedIn. So it appears both places. It gives the search engines a chance to index it so that you're not penalized for duplicate copy on the website, out on the internet. So that's the long and short. That's a more technical answer than I probably should have gotten into, but just so that you understand how that works. But yes, it does get you noticed if you do it right. Whew, I hope that helps, Cynthia. It was a long answer for a somewhat short question. So. All right, Susan, you're up next. The next question, what are some good platforms to find professional email addresses? I've used Hunter and Rocket Reach, but they're pricey. And what tool do you use to plan your social media posts? Hold on just a minute. I'm just looking because session 5, Susan, I'm not sure. I can't remember if you're that far along, but in session 5, there's a handout, 24 tools for finding and verifying prospect email addresses. So Ed provides a whole big long list of different tools for you to take a look at for finding web email addresses and for the professional ones. So I don't use any of them because it's not the way my business works, but I would say that once you get to session 5, that handout should be super helpful for you. All right, Allison, next question. You say to focus on positioning, prospecting, not writing. Is it true even if you don't have many samples? Yes. Yeah, because the best way to get samples for real is to get a couple of prospects or a couple of projects under your belt. So I think that you know, the biggest challenge, honestly, in regards to this whole blog writing thing is distraction, is the distractibility factor. Are you going to be too distracted by trying to get your blogs out that you're now suddenly your warm email prospecting is starting to erode. That, oh, well, geez, I used to do it 5 days a week. Now I'm only doing it three because I'm trying to get my writing done. Or geez, now, you know what? I don't think I sent out an email all week because I was trying to get blogs done. This is the just something you want to be mindful of. I see this a lot happening because blog writing is more fun than warm email prospecting for most of us. So it's easy to let that slide. And that is not where I want you to spend and invest your time right now and your energy. So the samples will come. And that's why I say the other thing about prospecting, especially in the beginning, is that this is about hitting from a couple of different, from multiple angles when you start to prospect. So it's going to be warm email prospecting. It's going to be reaching out to your network, people that you already know, that already know, like, and trust you. It's going to be going to that chamber event and shaking hands and maybe picking up a company that really needs your help, but isn't your target audience necessarily. Maybe, maybe not, but geez, they have a project, you know, that, that you could help them with. So maybe it's a pro bono or a deeply discounted project. Great. Those are the kinds of samples that I would rather see you collecting, because a blog only goes so far. You know, even if you write a killer blog and it's really well written and all of that stuff, it's still only going to get you so far. It's the real samples that actually help once you start calling on people. They want to see, and I wouldn't, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I'm going to write a case study, without having a client attached to that. It's kind of hard to do. And it's not quite real necessarily. And I don't even know if that's the right way to put it, but you want to be careful about, putting something out there that really wasn't for a client, because that's just kind of awkward. So I'd rather see you focusing on getting a couple of pieces that are real samples, and you don't need a lot of samples to start. You can dive in with little to no sample work on your website and still be able to find people. And that's why going out and meeting people in person, maybe there's a local, you know, a local company that you meet at a chamber event, and the person says, geez, you know, we're trying to get our newsletter started. Okay, well, I can help you that. I can help you with that. Let's get that off the ground for you. So I'd rather see you spending time on those kinds of projects with real clients, and giving you real samples, because I just think they're more valuable in the long run. Ooh, and there was one question. All right, Beth. Beth says, when you say you're posting daily and followed by prospects on social media, can you give a bit more detail? Is this all the platforms, Facebook, Insta, Twitter, or are you all on LinkedIn? So my main platform is LinkedIn. Simply because I love the tool and I've been on it for so long. I think like 13 years or something crazy. I think it had only been around for about 3 years when I joined, and it's changed so much in that amount of time. It's crazy. But LinkedIn is my baby for a couple of reasons. It's because I've been there a long time, but also because I was hired several years ago, 3 years ago now, I think, by a client who hired me to crisscross the country and provide a day-long LinkedIn workshop, training workshop, for them, for their biggest client. They had contracted with, it was actually for Nationwide Insurance, and a very big organization. And so they are a digital media company, and the digital media company said, we'll come to all the major cities in the US and teach your agents how to be effective on LinkedIn. And so they tapped me and sent me to all different places all around the country for 2 years. I crisscrossed the US and had an absolute ball doing it. It was so much fun. It's maybe 4 years ago now. Can't even remember. But anyway, it was a ball. It was just an absolute blast. And I learned a ton about LinkedIn as a result. We did two different workshops that we gave, myself and I had a colleague, a co-presenter, and she and I traveled the country and gave that. So I got to know LinkedIn really well as a result, got peppered with questions everywhere we went and just really learned the tool pretty well. So however, all of my posts go out to Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. I do not use Instagram. I do have an account. I'm just not, it's just not that important to me right now. It's not a source of business. I do get a fair amount of business from LinkedIn only because I know it so well and I know how to leverage it. And that's part of what I share in those trainings, the extra trainings in session 5. So definitely take a gander at those. And I use, there was a question earlier about what program I use to automate. It's a program called CoSchedule. And it allows me to build up a library, if you will, of different kinds of posts, all different kinds of things. And then I set a schedule and it just cranks for me. It just puts these things out. So this is not something I would recommend that you spend any time on right now. So I appreciate the questions, but this is something that I didn't implement until just a couple of years ago. I've been in business for 7 years. I implemented this probably 3 years ago, something like that. So I wouldn't spend any time on it right now. Again, it has taken me a long time. I have learned a lot. And over the years, it's something that just takes time to build and to understand. And the only reason that I say that is because I can tell you that the kinds of things that I post over the last 3 years have changed dramatically. So what I thought was smart to post 3 years ago wasn't as fruitful as I was expecting it to be. Now that I've been doing it for 3 years, now I'm getting people to say, hey, I really like what you're saying on social media. I like the stuff you're posting on LinkedIn because I finally figured it out. So it's taken me that long. So I wouldn't, again, recommend that you put too much time or effort into this until you have gotten through the B2B Launcher program. You know, this is definitely more advanced kind of activity for a business that's, you know, already up and running and you have clients and you're, you know, and maybe you're looking to level up to a more sophisticated client. But right now, it's about focusing on getting your first client in the door and really building some momentum in your business to get you off the ground. So I hope that helps. All right. Whew, you guys have kept me busy today. I am going to ask you another question. Now my turn for the question is, what's been valuable so far? What are the things we've talked about? A lot of stuff today, really great stuff, and some a little more sophisticated than what you need to be thinking about right now, but it's okay. It's all good information, but tell me what has been the most valuable for you on the call today. So type in a capital V. And tell me what has really kind of stood out that you've heard, because I've been beating you over the head with a couple of things. Keep saying the same few things, but we've talked again about a lot of different things. It's interesting how the whole blogging thing was a series of questions today, and I think that has been something that oftentimes we come away from different training programs. Maybe you've taken a few different types of things about how to build your business and so forth. And, oh, you get a blog and you get to be on social media. You get they really kind of amp that up. And I would say amp it down, relax with that, and really focus on making meaningful connections with the most important people, the right people, the target audience that you want to be working with. So. Slow down to speed up. I'm sure I'm thinking maybe you've heard that saying before, is like slow down to speed up. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Wow. All right, folks. Cool. So Esther says, emphasis on staying focused on where I am and not getting distracted. Very important. Oh my goodness. Yes. Beware shiny object syndrome. It's a real thing. And it really will take you way off course. And you don't want to do that right now. You have everything you need right here in B2B Launcher. You have everything you need. to get your business off to a strong start. So stay focused here for a while and get through this program because it's worth it. It's worth the money you've invested and it's worth your time. Crystal says what has been valuable is what to focus on at this point and what can wait. Super. Cynthia says keeping us on the path when we fall off. Yeah, absolutely. Beth, what's been valuable? Your advice on my target market approach, real time via audio call. Thanks. Absolutely. Yeah, I hope that we flesh that out enough for you to get you moving again. All right. Susan says, focusing on gaining a couple of clients first and to try not to do too much at the beginning. I really felt I needed to do everything and was overwhelmed. Yay. I'm glad that you're feeling like it's all right. You know, you can't do that. I think, and the other thing too, I remember when I started was really struggling with that and feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm not doing enough. Like I should just stay up till 10 or 11 at night and be doing all this stuff because I'm not doing it. Blah. I was making myself crazy. I was like, I got to get a client. Oh my gosh. I was frantic and I absolutely understand being that way. I, you know, my husband's looking at me like, are you ever going to have a client? Yes, 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 please, you know, be patient. I'm trying to, and you know, there's a lot of pressure from different, we put pressure on ourselves. So put that stuff aside. If it's not part of Ed's program, put it aside for now and focus on this program while you're here, while I'm here and can support you, while Ed is here and can support you. You have the Facebook group. Dive in, really immerse yourself in this program right now. And I think you'll find that you'll be glad you did. Charlene says, I love the laser focus you and Ed place on what's most important for launching a business, clearing clutter. Yeah, great. Yay. And Allison says, the difference between being an expert and being different. Absolutely. Love that. I'm glad that that was clear. I was hoping as I was talking that that was making sense to you. So I'm so glad that that was turned out to be valuable. I wanted to share one little story with you guys. It's when, if you've been on this call, if you've been in the program for a while, you may have heard it. So I apologize if you've heard this before, but it's just such a fun story. It's one that I love to share. And when I first started, I was working full-time. And trying to start my freelance gig on the side, my writing gig, because I really hated work. There's a program out there called Unemployable. That's me. I'm just a terrible employee. And so after all these years, I finally figured that out. And I said, all right, I'm going to start my own gig again. I'd owned a couple of other businesses prior to getting into writing. So finally said, yeah, I'm doing this. Working full time, you know, just crazy, doing all this stuff, trying to build my business. And I got connected with Ed through AWAI and he had this program. And I said, you know what, I'm going to invest in it because I really like Ed. Just something about him. Just, I thought, you know what, I like his style. I like what he's talking about. And so I took one of his courses, and this was several years ago. Probably five-ish years ago, something I don't even remember. But anyway, it was a while back. And one of the things he said was, I got to that point in the program, he said, well, you need to send an email to all of your network, your friends, your family, former coworkers, colleagues, etc. And I can tell you that I was about as uncomfortable with that idea as you can get. I just thought, are you kidding? Like, you know, just my whole email list? Like, really? You want me to do what? Well, what if they don't like me anymore? What if they, you know, like all these stupid things were going through my head and I was scared to death. And I love to tell this story because it's hideously embarrassing, but it's so funny because I literally created the email based on the template he provided about, hey, you know, it's been a while. Hope you're doing well. I started this new gig, wanted to let you know, keep me in mind, you know, that whole thing of, and it was a really nice, warm email. It wasn't pushy. It wasn't anything like that. It was just like, hey, you know, keep in touch. Would love to just catch up with you sometime. So it was very much a friendly email. It was nothing to be uncomfortable about. And I'm an outgoing person. I could not hit the send button. Now I had it keyed. I think I had it queued up to go to about 100 people. Maybe more. I can't remember. But anyway, it was a good number. I had a good number of people that is in my network that I wanted to send it to. And I got it all set up and I couldn't hit the send button. And I got up, I was about to do it. I get up and I walked away from my desk. And I'm like, I was so scared to death to hit send. It was ridiculous. And I literally went back to my desk and I sat down for a few minutes. I'm like, all right, I'm going to do it this time. And then I got up and walked away again. And I did this like three or four times. And then at one point I just stopped and I was like, okay, I'm a grown woman. This is ridiculous. What am I so afraid of? I was scared to pieces to hit send because I didn't know how it was going to land on these people. Long story short, one of the people that received that was so happy. She got back to me. It's a woman I hadn't talked to in 6 years. Hadn't seen her, hadn't spoken to her in 6 years. She owns a business, owns this digital marketing company out in Cleveland. No, not Cleveland. I'm sorry, Columbus, right? So they're headquartered in Columbus. She says, I'm so glad that you reached out. We need a writer. I said, really? She and I got in touch. I started doing some writing, mostly LinkedIn profiles, because they had a client that needed LinkedIn profiles written for all of their senior management. They wanted to revamp and revise. And they were heavy in the financial industry. So this was all for big banks, big national type banks across the country. And so that's what I started doing, was writing LinkedIn profiles. And then they landed Nationwide Insurance and tapped me and said, would you be interested in delivering this workshop all across the country? It turned out to be one of the biggest projects that I had worked on to date. It ended up bringing in somewhere in the neighborhood of like $40,000 a year for me over the course of, so back to back. So it would be an $80,000 total. So I was afraid to hit send to uncover an $80,000 project. Really? Like, what? You know, I remember thinking back, like, what was I so afraid of? And if people don't like me, they're not going to respond. They're going to delete my email and who cares, right? And I never hear from them. It's fine. But there were a couple of different things that came out of that email, including this massive project for me. So be encouraged that you never know where your next great project is going to come from, and keep an open mind about that. So it's my famous couldn't hit send story, but it's funny. And I'm hoping that resonates and makes sense for some of you, because it's a fearful thing to be reaching out to people and thinking, oh my gosh, what if they don't like me? What if, you know, what if they're mad? What if they're, you know, and none of that happened. All of those things that I was telling myself, by the way, none of that happened. I didn't hear from a lot of people. That's true. But a lot of people, but I did hear from a couple of the right people, and that's all that mattered. So I got some really good work out of my network right up front. So that being said, that's my story for today. What is your top action item? So it doesn't have to be anything that we talked about today, but anything that you're thinking about taking on in the next week, maybe by the end of the month, maybe almost is the end of the month. I can't believe it's the holiday next week. Or maybe between now and the end of the year. Tell me a little bit about what your next action item looks like. What are you going to be doing? And capital A. And let me know. Cynthia says, more prospecting and starting session 6. Excellent. Crystal says, hit the send button. Oh my gosh. Yay. Oh, yes, do. Love it. Charlene says, get my web copy written and my website up. Good for you. Good for you. Beth is going to revise and submit the website for review and finish session 2. Yay. Allison's going to be completing her positioning and then looking at doing a website. And Esther says, complete the remaining sessions. Marie is going to be doing more prospecting. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, great. Awesome. Well, thank you all for being here. Oh, and Susan, got a couple more prospecting and revising my website. Copy. And thank you all for being here and for participating. It's really what makes these calls great, is to have lots of questions, lots of activity and sharing with each other. That's what's going to bring the most value. So I wish you all a wonderful holiday. If you're here in the U.S. and you're celebrating Thanksgiving next week, then enjoy. Have a great a great couple of days and be active on Facebook. Don't hesitate to ask questions. Ed and I are both there pretty much every day checking on questions. So if you have questions, put them in the Q&A thread and one of us will respond. And feel free to, it's an important part of this program. Take advantage of it because Ed is just a wonderful resource for you folks. So have a great holiday. Everybody take care and we'll see you on Facebook real soon.